5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
Big day on the show. Mike Houston is in the studio. Coach came in, and we're no longer in the back in the broom closet. We're actually in the big studio now.
We're grown-up set now.
Grown-up set. Welcome in, everybody. We've got Monday with Coach Mike Houston here. Great to see you, Coach.
Yeah, good to see you.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
He's done all the other shows. Now he's doing the varsity in the big on the big grown-up set.
Yeah.
So there you go. Thanks for coming. It's always great to talk to you. And, boy, it just is we're on the beginning of the month of May practically, but
right,
we were just talking about before, June's so busy.
Yeah,
it's 11 and a half months out of the year now.
It's going to be here before you know it too. I mean, we're going to blink and it's going to be preseason camp.
The good news is the Pirates have been able to assemble a really talented, looking like on paper and what we saw in the spring game, an explosive roster. So that's obviously the effort of you and your staff, but also NIL factored bigly in.
Right. Sure. Oh yeah. No, I really do. I like our roster. You know, where we sit today. Now we're not done yet.
Right.
But we've got a few more pieces we're going to add to it before we get into the summer. But coming out of the spring and a few of the additions we've picked up here in the last week or so, I feel very, very good about our roster. And as I was saying to you before, I mean, I can't thank Team Boneyard and our donors enough. That has given us the ability to be competitive, and it's a major factor. And it's something we still need everybody to get behind. I mean, we need all of Pirate Nation behind it. And but it's given us a chance to be competitive recruiting wise.
If you we were talking about this, even if you just you could go to teamboneyard.org and look all of this different ways to do this, but I mean if you got, I don't know, 500,000 people to do $10 a month, $20 a month,
yeah,
it would make a huge difference.
It'd be huge. And, we have a great fan base. They're passionate about our program. But this is a big deal with these players. And we have great young men. So, it's going to help them and support them. And, we need all of our fan base to get behind Team Boneyard.
You've said this on the show before, and this is just kind of where we are here.
Yeah.
This isn't guys are getting an Escalade and a
right.
half million.
No.
I mean, this
no.
is this money really helps
right.
Pirate
well,
players.
We were talking before, it's, their scholarship check, the amount that they get for rent in their scholarship check is not enough to rent anything around Greenville. And so, this goes to help support them and allow them to, these guys, they don't have time to get a part-time job with the hours that they put in with football. And so this allows them to be able to, function and operate on a daily basis. And so, I'm fully supportive of the players, being able to benefit off NIL.
There was the discussion last week of that, and it's going to be internalized. And then you're looking at what could be like a salary cap, suggested.
Well,
not everybody's going to be able
it's
to.
It's headed that way.
Right. Not everybody's going to be able to, spend that amount of money, even in the so-called P5 or P2
right.
or P4. I mean, again, there's a cap, but not all schools are going to be able to do that. But internalizing that, will that help, you think?
I think so. I mean, again, we were talking about this before we went on air. I mean, Doug Gomes, Hank Hinton, David Price,
mm-hmm.
Lance Clark, all the guys, the board of
Slate,
Team Boneyard,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Matthew Slate,
yeah.
Those guys, this is not their full-time job.
Right.
They're doing this on the side just to benefit, to help the program. And so I think, if you can have someone where that's their focus,
mm-hmm.
I just think that would just help it run a lot more smooth. And everybody can still, support it. But I think it's headed that direction. I think you're going to see a lot of continued change over the next, you know, year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, mm-hmm. With just the whole landscape of college football, and I'd say college basketball is going to be right there with it.
Right, absolutely. Mike Houston is with us. You know, it was interesting. The new commissioner was introduced, and he talked about the importance of football and what right. that's meant to the American. Also talked about the importance of basketball. As you say, those are the two sports where, especially in the American, football's been great, but there are still some real growth opportunities.
Well, you know, those are the revenue sports sure. that support the entire athletic department. And so it's very important for, you know, East Carolina University, the American Conference, you know, to have those sports thrive. But, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, what our new commissioner does, because, you know, he's got a background with a lot of diversity with marketing and you know, all kinds of different things.
Worked
and
at so, different aspects of IMG, yeah, which is kind of interesting.
It'll be interesting to see kind of, you know, what direction his leadership takes us.
Mike Houston is with us in studio today. Recently, Friday, Ole Miss redshirt freshman Javonte Connor, Carson Jones last week, an offensive lineman from Houston, joins the program. What are some other areas? I don't know how much you could talk about it, but what are some other areas you're looking to add some players? Is there an approximate number ideally you want to kind of add?
Well, you know, we want to add at least one or two more offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. You know, we're short one running back right now,
right.
So I'll probably, you know, add a running back. And then, you know, it just, you're kind of looking then at just, you know, where you have your room left. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a few open scholarships right now. And so you just got to make sure that, you know, you have the depth, in each room to be able to, you know, be prepared for the season.
Right. You know, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, with the way the game is now,
you can get
thin
in a hurry.
Yeah. I mean, you really can, from a running back perspective, what's the ideal number?
Five.
Yeah.
You know, that's, so we got four scholarship mm-hmm. running backs right now. TJ Engelman is a, you know, incoming freshman, mm-hmm. Probably not ready to carry a huge workload just yet. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have three that we feel fantastic about, with Rajay and Javius and Marlon. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's, again, those guys, they take a lot of hits, and yeah. So we're going to need another back.
Did Marlon we talked a little bit about it during the coaches show, but fantastic spring.
I thought he had a great spring. Yeah. And I think, you know, for Marlon, it was good to see him smiling and enjoying playing again. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that, you know, he kind of went through some stuff and, you know, so he really, you know, had a chip on his shoulder this winter and spring. And, you know, you look like Marlon Gunn again.
Yeah. With Rajay and Javius, are they on the right track health wise?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're both. Javius is fine. Mm-hmm. You know, Rajay is trending to be cleared for summer workouts.
Okay.
Fully. You know, his was an upper body injury, so it wasn't anything, you know, lower body
right.
to keep him from, you know, participating this summer.
With that lower body deal, I mean, that's one of those things. It's the mental
yeah.
aspect of it more than anything, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. But, you know, but that's another piece with him. You know, now he's 2 years removed from the torn ACL, and mm-hmm. so I think he's fully recovered from that. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, any more, I think it does probably take a player 2 years to get back from that particular energy.
He showed signs at times
late in the year.
Yeah, but yeah. it just I don't know how much of that was mental or how much of that was just physically what yeah. he can
probably a little bit of both.
Doing. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. We're talking to Coach Houston. All right, let's talk the quarterbacks.
All right. We're excited.
I think you're a little more excited where we sit right now, especially coming out of spring, than you were a year ago.
I've got the stats somewhere, but I mean, you know, the spring game was about three quarters of a ball game mm-hmm. to almost, you know, three and a half quarters of a ball
right.
game snap-wise, what we'll snap it this fall. And I mean, we had over 400 yards passing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, both older quarterbacks, I thought, were very, very sharp in the spring game. But that's what I've been seeing all spring.
Right.
And I'm just excited that our fan base got to see it.
Neck and neck right now.
Yes.
I mean,
that's
not coach speak.
They're both – I mean, again, everybody saw it in the spring game. They are both plenty talented enough. They both can run the offense. They both are, you know, quality high-end players, and I'm excited we have both of them. So, but it is quite a battle now.
Not for any reason, but let's start with Caden Hauser.
Okay.
What do you feel like he has brought to your program?
You know, he's a good athlete, great size, very strong arm, but I think that his decision-making and his accuracy are the two of the things I thought stood out the most. Now, he's, you know, neither one of them are perfect now. They still have growth that they can make, you know, in their game. But, you know, just the accuracy and the precision of the throws from both quarterbacks was very, very impressive this spring.
With Garcia, I remember you talking about, you know, he's maybe – not that he has happy feet by there by any stretch, but with Jake Garcia, he because he's so athletic, may just take off a little bit. Do you want him to hang in there a little bit more? Is that?
Well, I mean, I think in today's game, you got an athletic quarterback.
Sure.
Because an athletic quarterback can extend plays. Mm-hmm. And I think both young men are athletic and can extend play, get out of trouble. You know, Jake is a very confident player. and I'm telling you, when he's on a roll,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's impressive to watch.
They can fit it into the windows.
No doubt. Guys
can.
I mean,
can
make the throws. Again, yeah. We saw it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two very different personalities.
Yeah.
But they go about it differently,
yeah.
But they achieve the same.
And I think they have a pretty positive relationship. You know, I've known them now for, you know, 5 months, but, so I'm still getting to know them to a degree, but, you know, they're both great young men.
Mm-hmm. Really nice article that Igo wrote on Hoist the Colors about Raheem Jeter.
Right.
I mean, this was also a good development period for him.
I think he's improved. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not where the other two are just yet,
sure.
But he's still young.
Right.
I mean, he's just a redshirt freshman. So, you know, he's still got to work on tightening up his mechanics a little bit, getting the ball out of his hand a little bit faster sometimes. But, you know, has a good grasp of the offense and feels, you know, a lot more comfortable, you know, right now than he did a year ago.
With Coach Baker coming in, do you feel like you mentioned some of the explosion potential on the roster? You obviously have a couple quarterbacks that are comfortable in that system. Or some of the guys that were held over, are they coming along as far as that system goes and what you want to do with all the snaps?
As far as players coaches?
Yeah, players.
Yeah, I mean, I think even the defensive players, I think, are excited about, you know, our style of offense we've installed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think John David's done a great job coming in and just bringing a lot of positivity, a lot of excitement, you know, and being, you know, very, you know, I think he's in sync with the offensive players. I think, and, you know, confidence is a big piece with college athletes. And I think the players, they have a lot of confidence in what we're doing, and they have a lot of confidence in John David and our offensive coaches.
He talked about he's put everything in.
Yeah.
And now he's in the process of, you know, because you're not going to run all that, you know, at the very beginning of the year. So he's
right.
In that process now of, okay, what will we look like?
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, when we get off the road recruiting, you know, here at the end of May, and we start, you know, summer workouts with our players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll really be spending a lot of time game planning our first four opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, putting together, you know, this fits this. So that's what the summer will be.
Right. Chase Sowell, just, you know, where he's going to be different, you think, this year compared to last year?
One, experience.
Mm-hmm.
He's went out and he's done it in the ball game now, so confidence. But you know, he has a chance to be a big time playmaker in this offense. But and I'll tell you, I could say it for a lot of our offensive players: Jari Patterson,
mm-hmm.
Tyler Savage. You know that they maybe they fit this offense or this offense fits them a little bit better than what we were doing.
And
in
that's
the past.
What I was getting at. Yeah.
So
you feel like this.
Yeah, I think Chase has a chance to have a really big year.
We're talking with Coach Eustace. He joins us here. He's been good enough to spend some time with us. Robinson's one of the receivers that
Keelan
has had a really good
another one.
For you. Who are some other guys? You mentioned Patterson. You mentioned Savage. Who are some other receivers?
Well, I think
that you can see?
Winston Wright. He's a veteran guy
mm-hmm.
that's been there and done it.
Right.
And he and I have talked just about how this offense really fits him. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's got a chance to have a pretty special year also. You know, Anthony Smith, I think he's, you know, he gives us that guy that can, you know, take the roof off and, you know, has big time speed. You know, Kerry King, he's coming on back off an injury.
Right.
I'll be glad to get him back out there on the field this summer. But I think, you know, you look at our room as a whole, our receiver room as a whole, Brock Spaulding, first touchdown in the spring yeah. game. You know, just I feel like we have a solid group that will all, you know, this offense will create explosive plays for those guys. And, you know, they're going to be able to be very productive.
Defensively, Coach, you have some starting safeties or some players who have started games at safety, but
right.
you don't have those guys that week in and week out done it. So how do you feel about the back end there, particularly at the safety position?
Well, I mean, you know, when you start talking about the back end, you better start with Siobhan Revelle. I mean,
yeah.
I think he's –
it's key that he – because he had people, I'm sure.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, this time next year, we're going to be talking about who drafts Siobhan.
Yeah.
He's just – I think he's one of the best corners in the country. And, you know, he's getting healthy right now. And, you know, he and I have talked, you know, just about a couple of key things to work on this summer. And, you know, he gives us the ability to really – you know, do some things in the back end. So you got to start talking about him. I thought Isaiah Brown Murray had a great mm-hmm. spring.
Yeah.
You have some other guys that have come in and competed. You know, Andrew Wilson Lamp. You know, a couple of younger guys that you know, you want to see them step on the field there at corner. At safety, I feel good about our safety room. Jordan Huff, Devin King, Omar Rogers, yeah. and Dontavious Nash. You know, those four guys have played a lot of ball. You know, Jordan and I were talking the other day, and he said, well, you know, Coach, this is, you know, this spring was the first time I've really truly played, you know, field safety. Mm-hmm. You know, he played corner at uh-huh. Georgia Tech.
Okay.
And then played a little bit of both at Hutch, and then had played, you know, primarily Sam last year with us, the nickel position.
Right.
And so, you know, I thought he had a very solid spring, but, yeah, I feel good about those guys. I mean, I think that you know, we have a chance to be just fine back there.
And it's the exact opposite. deal from the offense. I mean,
yeah.
there's the defense. It's pretty well established,
yeah.
and guys are really comfortable.
Well, you've got a veteran group up front, and mm-hmm. so anytime you got, you know, quality players that are very experienced, then, you know, you got a shot. And couldn't feel better about our defensive line.
You know, as tough as last year was, that defensive unit, I
yeah.
mean, for the second year in a row, just, I mean, really.
Well, I think we were better last year defensively than we were the year before,
sure.
you know, mainly because of, you know, the coverage ability of our corners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Blake Harrell's, I mean, what a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about just kind of an up and coming,
right.
bright young coach.
Yeah.
He's been awesome.
He's done a great job.
Yeah.
You know, brings a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm, works very, very hard. You know, he's, you know, and just, and for me personally, just seeing his growth mm-hmm. since our times together in the past, just really respect him and the job he's doing both on and off the field.
The indoor practice facility.
Yeah.
I guess inside of $1 million is
– We're getting close.
Yeah.
You know, just a couple of more gifts to kind of finish it off. I don't know what the exact number is. You have to ask Ryan Robinson, but, you know, we feel like, you know, the finish line's within sight.
Again, the need for that. There's
yeah
I mean it's obviously other sports will have access
sure.
to use it. It's a hosting center on game days potentially,
yeah.
So I mean there's
summer camps,
yeah,
recruiting, mm-hmm. You know, in season, obviously, you know, it protects, you know, your practice times from, you know, the weather in Eastern North Carolina,
right.
You know, we'll use it a lot during preseason camp. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to use it some in the winter, even though we don't get too cold around here. So.
Right. Yeah.
But still, I mean, it just allows you to always be able to function. And it'll be a
huge
piece.
Well, even on a day if it's a monsoon,
yeah.
you're not affected.
Right.
You know.
Oh, and it's, you know, I said it before, we had a camp last summer before last. You know, we've got, you know, 500 kids and their parents and everybody on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we get lightning.
Right.
And nothing screams that you don't have an indoor practice facility like that, because you're scrambling to find somewhere for all these people to go.
Right.
And ended up having to put them underneath the stadium.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be a game changer for our athletic department.
got camps coming up.
Yeah.
Junior Pirate Camp, June 10th, 11th, and 12th. MikeHoustonFootballCamps.com is where you can go for all of this. Or you can register the day of. The ladies' camp is June 21st. So those are happening, and those are always a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, you know, the Junior Pirate Camp, you know, it's a lot of fun. You know, we'll have several of our players working it. And, you know, just the kids, they'll be just getting out of school. So they'll be excited not to be in school. And,
right, yeah.
You know, it's I think they all have a blast each year.
Well, the parents will be excited that they'll be burning some energy.
Yeah, no doubt. And then, you know, the ladies clinic, it's a real fun event. You know, my wife and several of the coaches' wives participate in it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my wife's friends do. And
right.
It's just a great night for our female fans to be able to, you know, enjoy, you know, talking football, seeing the facilities, doing some stuff. We do some drills in the mm-hmm. weight room and on the stadium turf, and have a great meal and everything. Yeah. So it's a real fun night.
So the ladies' camp, again, it's June 21st. The junior pirate camp, the 10th, 11th, and 12th. If you go to MikeHoustonFootballCamps.com, you can
And ladies' clinic starts at 5 o'clock
okay.
on the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And junior pirate as an 8:30 a.m. check-in
mm-hmm.
there on June 10th.
Okay. Awesome. We'll mention that. We'll promote it, obviously, and talk about it quite a bit. But, again, MikeHoustonFootballCamps.com is where you can go there. Jeremy Lewis, Julius Woods,
yep.
a couple others.
B.J. Davis.
Yeah, B.J. Davis.
Jalen Johnson.
Uh-huh.
Jarrett Gardner.
Yep.
So, yeah, excited for those guys and their opportunity.
All picked up as undrafted free agents. So, if you had a chance to kind of check in with those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I've checked in with everybody except BJ. I just found out about BJ today, so I'm going to try to get a hold of him tonight. But
who'd he?
The Jets.
Okay. But, you got a couple with the Jets. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, Jeremy and Jack, or excuse me, Jack Powers, he got a job.
Yeah.
So he's getting ready to move to Colorado and go to work. But, you know, all those guys have been around the facility,
yeah.
you know, training this spring. And so been able to keep in touch with them pretty close.
Well, that's awesome, too, about Jack Powers. I mean, just,
yeah.
you know, he's
he's awesome.
Off into the working world. And that's going to make you have a lot of pride.
He's going to do great. It's a sales position, which I think he'll be great with yeah. his personality. So.
And then our guy Joe Sampson got his MBA.
Yeah.
How about that?
He's a great one now.
He's awesome.
He's awesome. Awesome kid to have in the program.
It's unbelievable how just a natural he is. He and I did a game together.
Yeah.
He was just great. But I mean, he's part of our stuff here, and he's
yeah.
It's football, so he loves it.
Yeah.
He knows it.
Sure.
But he worked his tail off.
Yeah.
For that MBA, I know that.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, we were talking about the other day. I didn't finish my master's, so I'm a few hours short.
Okay.
So my wife is the most educated in the family. But, you know, she got her MBA years ago. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, he's got that master's degree with him, so it's a whole lot easier to do it, you know, when you're fresh out of college than if you yeah. try to do it later on.
A couple minutes here. Anything that we hadn't mentioned that you want to make sure we touch on? Again, I think Team Boneyard, if you could –
Yeah,
kind of set it, forget it. $10 a month, $20 a month, $50 a month.
Absolutely.
I mean, it would make a huge difference.
Yes, absolutely. So, and it, you know, it's, you know, businesses here in Greenville, you know,
yeah.
obviously, you know, Pirate football is a big part of supporting Greenville. You know, whether it's game day or, you know, we spend a lot around town with recruiting,
mm-hmm.
Restaurants, hotels,
right.
and stuff like that. So, you know, we'd love to have more businesses involved with Team Boneyard also. You know, Sup Dogs
yeah.
has done an incredible job of supporting
yeah.
Team Boneyard, but lots of room there.
Well, and you know, even as successful as Sup Dogs, good football means healthier bottom line for them.
Good football means more Pirates in town on the weekends and, you know, spending more money around town at, you know, gas stations, hotels, restaurants, yeah. Target, Walmart. I mean,
yeah.
It's you know, this is a thing where we need everybody to get on board.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in. It's always great to see
yeah.
you. We'll
no,
talk to you
good
before
to see you.
Everything fires up. And,
yeah. August 31st, not too far off.
No, it is not, is it?
So
right around the corner.
I can't wait.
Well, good luck with the recruiting. I know that's a huge part of this with the players on campus in June, but enjoy what time you will get off.
I'll get some. Yeah. We'll get some here at the beginning of July. But
all right. Thank you, Mike, for coming. Yeah. It's always awesome
Absolutely.
To see you. All right, great to have Mike Houston. We're going to talk to Cliff Godwin in a little bit, but right now here is Philip the Ref Pilkington with a sports update and Pirate Report. Pilk?
Philip Pilkington here with your 94.3 The Game Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report. Over the weekend, baseball took 2 out of 3 over South Florida. They did lose the second game of that doubleheader on Sunday, and despite that loss, Coach Godwin says he is proud of how the team has dealt with the adversity of late, dealing with all the injuries.
Yeah, well, you know, what the committee and everybody needs to think is we just went 2 weeks of baseball without our Saturday starter and our All-American closer. So to lose one game in 4-7 games, I guess that is, Coach O, pretty special. And Starling's not 100%, so, but we'll recover tomorrow and then we'll get ready for Duke on Tuesday.
The Pirates now have a 3-game lead in the American Athletic Conference standings after the Roadrunners of UTSA dropped 2 out of 3 over the weekend to Wichita State. The Pirates will be back in action tomorrow when they host the Duke Blue Devils. You can hear it right here on 94.3 The Game with Scott Rogers and Coach O at 5:45 for that just after 6 o'clock first pitch. Softball dropped 2 out of 3 over the weekend to UAB, including a 3-2 loss on Sunday, which was Senior Day. The only effect that loss had, though, on the conference standings is who gets to bat last and wear the home jerseys in the first round of the AAC tournament, which is scheduled for 11 a.m. on Wednesday. They will face the Blazers once again. Yesterday afternoon, in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs began, and the Canes fell 4-3 to the Rangers up in the world's most famous arena. Game 2 will also be at Madison Square Garden tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Over the weekend, Taylor Pendrith shot 23 under to win the CJ Cup Byron Nelson at TPC Craig Ranch in Texas. And in the Kentucky Derby, Mystic Dan won a 3-way photo finish at the line to win the 150th edition of the race. Speaking of photo finishes in racing, Kyle Larson beat Chris Buescher by 1/1000th of a second at Kansas to claim his second win of the 2024 season, the closest finish in NASCAR history. And on the streets of Miami, Lando Norris grabbed his first career Grand Prix win in Formula One after a strategy call got him ahead of reigning champion Max Verstappen. That'll do it for your 94.3 The Game Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report.
We are.
Riding shotgun with you on the drive home.
It's go time.
This is the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
All right, welcome in. We've got Cliff Godwin with us, Stephen Igo from Hoist the Colors, as well as we talk Pirate baseball. And what a strange weekend it was as far as the scheduling goes. We'll talk about that and what the week ahead has in store. It was also exam week, so a lot of challenges that are not unique to this time of year. Cliff Godwin joins Stephen and myself. Coach, 2 out of 3. Winning another conference series this weekend against USF. Before we dive into the deets, why don't we just get an overall thought going into everything?
We knew it was going to be a tough weekend going in because they're very offensive. They've got a bunch of guys that are in their lineup that have been in this league for 3 and 4 years. They're really good hitters. When you're a little bit thin on the pitching side, you worry about those things. And Trey was outstanding on Friday. Our offense was outstanding on Friday. And then, you know, Saturday, I just didn't think our position players were the same mentally. I don't know if they thought we were just going to win because we're East Carolina and what our record is, but the vibe just wasn't the same in our dugout. And that'll be something that we address this week. And we'll have a leadership group meeting this afternoon and be able to talk about it, because it's not about the performance necessarily mentally. I felt like we just weren't as engaged in either game. I mean, we won the first game because we hit some home runs and Norby and Danny Beal split the game. But offensively and defensively, I just didn't think that we were sharp in either game.
Between games Sunday, there's such a long time with the weather. What do you do to kind of keep, you know, the guys – do you have them get off their feet? Do you do things to kind of keep them warm? How does that – how do you spend that amount of time? And you really don't know – I mean, you had maybe a pretty good idea after a certain point. But, I mean, that's a pretty lengthy amount of time in between games.
Yeah, I thought it would probably help us maybe, you know, reset, maybe get us fresh, but it didn't, in my opinion. But they get off their feet. A lot of them will get treatment. Some guys play cards. Some guys play the game Mafia. Some guys watch some other college baseball games. But, you know, they're laying around in shorts without a shirt on most of the time. And then a lot of them will take a shower as it's getting closer to game time just to refresh themselves. Even, you know, I took a shower just to, you know, get rejuvenated for the second game.
Cliff, you talked afterwards yesterday about, I guess, the conference kind of making the decision to play a doubleheader Sunday. What exactly went on and transpired from, let's say, I guess, Friday into Saturday and then Saturday that led to the decision about Sunday?
Saturday morning, Billy Mole called me and said, hey, we got a bunch of guys that are sick. We have five position players that could play today and 10 pitchers. And Billy's a really good dude. He understands the importance of the games, especially for us. He says, look, I will do whatever. Because I said, look, that's unfortunate, but it's a disadvantage for us to have to play a doubleheader on Sunday when there's no weather. So we're getting penalized for something that, yeah, it's out of our control. But the reality is it's tough to win a doubleheader, especially when you shorten a game to seven innings, which, no offense, I mean, we were thin on pitching, so it wasn't like that was going to, you know, help us to play another nine-inning game. But when you play a seven-inning game, it allows the other team, maybe that is not as – the record's not as good as yours, to navigate the game a little bit better than you at times. So, if that makes sense. So, anyway, mm-hmm. The conference, it was out of our hands. The ADs got on the phone call, the conference office, and they said that the decision was that they weren't going to play. And like I said, it wasn't Billy's decision. It wasn't my decision. It was the conference office. And the one thing we learned about this is we need to have some protocols in play. And I mentioned this post game, and it is what it is, but Alabama pretty much dealt with the same thing on Saturday at Mississippi State, and their head coach texted me after a game and just asked me what the circumstances were with our decision. And their conference office, with pretty much the same scenario, said you have to play. They had five position players that were at batting practice before Saturday's game, and you have to play. So we'll need to put some protocols in for this moving forward.
That's an off-season thing is what you're referencing there. I mean, is that something that I
guess
like the coaches
– we have a head coaches meeting every August through a Zoom call that has all the head coaches in the conference plus the SWA of the conference plus Bobby, who is our, you know, I don't know what his official title is for the conference, but he's the guy we deal with in with any kind of baseball-related issues.
Because right. You look at having to play a doubleheader this late in the season, like Florida State, NC State, they only played one game on Sunday. You know, I know you're not – I'm not trying to put you in a position to keep complaining, but it's just not a advantage situation for either team, I would think, going into, you know, the stretch run here.
Yeah, I mean, yes. It's not an advantage to play a doubleheader at any point in time. But when you're playing a doubleheader on Sunday, like today feels like Sunday to me because you just normally don't play – a doubleheader on Sunday. Normally it's on Saturday or Friday, but the thing that only allowed us to play the doubleheader is South Florida wasn't flying out until today. So that wouldn't even have been an option, which that was probably some of the issue with the state Florida State. I don't know that situation. I just know they played two games. And that was something that we proposed to the conference was, well, okay, if we can't play Saturday, we should just play one nine-inning game on Sunday. And they came back with the integrity of the league. You know, we need to try to play a doubleheader, which I get their side of things, but also we're put into an unprecedented situation on Saturday when that's never happened in our conference since I've been the head coach at East Carolina. We don't have protocols in place, so then there needs to be some wiggle room with what we think the integrity of the league is, because it puts the first place team in a competitive disadvantage to play a doubleheader on Sunday when we could have played on Saturday.
We asked you post game about the Riley Johnson strike as well, and that was a huge strike. I mean, 2-1 count, he could bunt there, he could slash. I mean, that changes the whole at bat. So did you get a chance to go back and watch the video there? Any other thoughts on that situation?
Yeah. I mean, I go by the letter of the law. I mean, the umpire was right, but I will tell you this, and I'm not talking about the specific umpire who called it. I'm amazed at how, you know, letter of law says, hey, the 22nd clock is supposed to start when the pitcher gets the ball back from the catcher. I would tell you that 99% of the time, they don't start the 22nd clock until the pitcher is on the rubber. And this specific instance, Riley Johnson is brushed back on a 2-0 count. So it's taken him a little time to gather his thoughts. Maybe I gave the sign a little bit late, which by the time Riley got his wits about him because he had been brushed back, that's when I gave the sign. And the guy walked down the mound as well. So there was a lot of time that passed in there. I just have a tough time with you calling it in that situation, man. Like the game, let the game be decided on the field, not because we call a strike because of 22nd clock. But you see it in the major leagues, you see it in college baseball. There's always a situation, but they don't call balks. The guy blew through his delivery in the pitch, the 2-0 pitch, and we don't call balks, but we want to call the 22nd. It's just like, hey, we pick and choose what we want to call in that situation, and that's what I have an issue with.
All right, we'll get back to the play on the field, Coach, I promise. So Danny Beal was critical in the first game on Sunday, and obviously Norby goes 4 and then Danny goes 5. Ran into some trouble in the top of the 5th. Just his resiliency to bounce back, go the rest of the way, how huge was that?
Yeah, I think Danny, it takes him a little time. I mean, he's still dealing with his left knee that he's dealt with for the past 2 years, and we're trying to manage it. But I think it takes him a little time to get out there and get comfortable, to be honest with you. But once he can get settled in, like he has the past two outings, then he looks like Danny Beal of old. So, but it was huge. It was huge, especially with our pitching staff being depleted with injuries right now. To use 3 pitchers in 2 games, man, is special. You know, Trey going on Friday and then Norby and Danny splitting game 1 yesterday was huge going into, you know, game 3 just being thin on the pitching side.
And, Coach, of course, we didn't see Wyatt or Root pitch. Can you give us the latest on their status?
Yeah, I feel pretty confidently they're trending upward, so a good thing for the Pirates. But they will not be available tomorrow against Duke, but we feel good about them throwing this weekend in a limited capacity. So don't expect Zach Root to go out there and pitch 5 innings or, you know, Shink to throw on multiple days. But we feel good about them throwing at least, you know, a couple innings, 1 or 2 this weekend.
Cliff Godwin joining Steve and Igo and myself here as we talk Pirate baseball. Jake Hunter, you made that announcement officially late in the week. Is there still an evaluation process with him? Is it a rehab at this point? Is there a surgery or is all that still to kind of be determined?
Well, Patrick, I don't want to get into just discussing a ton of medical stuff here, but he's going to need surgery. You know, once the doctors get in there and tell us what, then we can announce exactly what it is, but he does need surgery and he's going to get that. If not this week, he'll get it in early next week.
Gotcha. Thank you, Cliff, for that update. So let's talk offensively. The 4 home runs in game 1 yesterday, but Dixon Williams had a stretch. I think Igo was telling me it was the first time since 2018 that a Pirate has homered in 4 consecutive games. And, boy, what a year Dixon Williams is having in his second year in the program.
Yeah, Dixon has really played great, especially over the past month. And I said this a lot early, and he just was lining out early. And of course, you know, people that are not actually watching the game, they're pulling up a box score and you're looking at batting average. That's why we don't talk about batting average. And I think it was not easy for Dixon to manage because this is the first time he's been a starter pretty much every day. And of course he wants to win for the team and he's competitive. And really the hardest part for us as coaches was to keep him in a good mental headspace because his swings were good. His at-bats were, for the most part, good. And he's just hitting the ball right at people. And then, you know, the past month, he's continued to hit the ball hard, and they have found green grass, so to speak, and some of them have found a over the fence. And Dixon is a special talent, and as long as he's in a positive mindset, he's a really, really good player.
Hits in 7 of the 8 games since his return for Jacob Starling. So he has been amazing. Home runs in back-to-back games of the doubleheader, and the Starman continues to impress.
star, man. He's a clutch player for sure. He's had a lot of big moments at East Carolina. He is not 100%. I would say he's 100% swinging wise, but he's not 100% running wise. And I know that weighs on him. And, you know, for him to just be able to go out there and be on the field for two games yesterday, I think is a win for the Pirates. But I'd be lying to you if I told you he was 100%. I just appreciate him wanting to go out there and try to help his team win.
Coach, I believe it was first game of Sunday. All the games run together on a weekend like this. But Will Coxon, you know, he threw out a couple of base runners. He backpicked the guy. It just, you know, how big of plays are those for your dugout and demoralizing for the other team when he's making those throws?
Well, I was super proud of him. Yeah, I think he threw three guys out and then backpicked the guy. And I said this, and this is no disrespect, but when you're playing a team that doesn't have anything to lose, man, a lot of times it's like, I don't know, they just can do a lot of different things that probably you wouldn't do if you were in our situation, because it's really risky. But J-Dub being able to throw out those guys kept the momentum in our dugout. And, you know, we really needed it at that time just because, like I said, they're really offensive. So anytime we can steal an out, whether we throw a guy out or they bunt, that was a win for the Pirates.
Jaden Winter, Eric Ritchie, you know, had some big spots yesterday. And those guys, Coach, I mean, they've been in the program now, you know, a little up and down at times. But how critical are they down the stretch here? And then, you know, pitching well yesterday, especially Winter escaping that jam, pretty electric stuff. Just how critical was that in their future going down the stretch here?
Yeah, we need those guys continue to get a little bit better. It's not like they're light years away. I mean, what Jade did was special. And you guys can see Ritchie, man, at times he's special as well. His command's getting better, and Coach Knight's working with both those guys. But I'm super proud of those guys being able to go out there and get some outs for us, because they do work hard, and they're great teammates as well.
Coaching with the short turnaround with the Duke game, coming off a doubleheader, I'm sure that puts you on a bit of a challenge pitching-wise. Is that just kind of a regroup, see who's available come tomorrow morning?
Yeah, we'll talk about it today and see how guys feel. But it'll definitely be a lot of guys that throw short stints tomorrow, because we don't have a lot of guys that are available to pitch tomorrow. But we'll go about it the best way we can, and we'll have fun. We need Pirate Nation to be loud and bring some juice, because, you know, even in the second game yesterday, I thought our crowd was great, even though there wasn't a lot of people, physical bodies. I mean, they really got into it the last couple innings, and that did provide a spark to our guys in the dugout, and they were trying to muster up enough energy to, you know, be able to come from behind. And unfortunately, we just didn't have enough gas in the tank, and we weren't able to get a big hit when we needed it. But our guys did battle to the end. I mean, we had first and second, you know, down a run there at the end, and unfortunately hit to a double play, but the ball could have very easily, you know, gotten through, and we all feel better about ourselves. But I think we had won 10 games in a row, which is really hard to do in college baseball. For you stat people out there, we have the number one non-conference RPI in the entire country. Now think about that. So we have played the best competition possibly when it comes to and won those games as far as non-conference goes.
And that continues tomorrow, top 10 matchup with Duke coming in. Another team that is very offensive, and Chris Pollard gets his group fired up anytime they play the Pirates.
Yeah, Coach Pollard's done a great job. Duke's a great team. I'm thankful we have him here at home, and, you know, it'll be a very competitive game. And like I said, I hope Pirate Nation comes out and packs the place, and we have a great crowd, and we've got a great crowd who's energized and helping the Pirates pull through.
CJ, thanks for the time as always. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
94.3 The Game. Okay, that'll wrap it for today. Thanks to Coach Mike Houston for being with us. Also, thanks to Cliff Godwin. Don't forget ECU and Duke tomorrow, and we'll lead you into coverage of that with the PJ Show. John Gilbert will be our guest tomorrow, so tune in for that. It'll be the birthday extravaganza edition of the Patrick Johnson Show. Thanks also to Steve and Igo from Hoist the Colors. Great to have Philip Pilkington back. Thanks to him as well. We'll talk to Pilk a little later on in the week. See you in the morning on Talk of the Town, and then back here at 5 o'clock with John Gilbert on the PJ Show. Have a great evening, everybody. Adoption can be a beautiful and